Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazzette Maja, Chris Fuchs, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Nathan McKenzie, Joe Mickendo, Trayvon Brady, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Adam Parker, Tom Gerke, and Eric Eels. Thank you so much to all these patrons for their contributions. And you too can become a patron of Always Hold On to Smallville by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and this week I'm joined by Miss Victoria Malley. What's up, Victoria?
Hey, I'm so thrilled to be back here.
Yes, this is your second appearance on the podcast, second of many. We had a great time last season talking about Magnetic.
Yes.
And we're talking about another episode that's not among Smallville's greats, but I think it's better than last week's episode, Facade. now we were talking, off microphone and on social media a little bit, Victoria. You like Facade, or at least you like parts of it. Is that correct?
It is. So I haven't seen Facade in a very, very long time. But I just remember, I love the last scene of Facade because it really spoke to my preteen self, because it's that scene where Lois throws the football and dunks Clark in the dunk tank, and they have this moment of kind of like connection, and then you see Chloe making the heart-crushing realization that Lois and Clark have chemistry, like the kind of chemistry
that she... So much for her happy ending, am I right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because she has this realization... All while Avril Lavigne's My Happy Ending is playing, and it is, I think what I said on social media was, it is iconic and you can fight me. But yeah, no, I thought, I also loved it, this is so inside baseball, but I loved it because I'm also a huge Spider-Man fan, and Brianna, the guest star in Facade, the Freak of the Week, has like a baby part in Spider-Man 2. So I like that she's like this little weird link. She's one of the passengers on the train in Spider-Man 2 when like when he stops the train from going off the track. So I like that there's like this weird little connection that only 13-year-old me could have made.
That is impressive. So that is some trivia. I found that trivia, but I thought it was even so inside baseball as you put it so perfectly that I didn't even bring it up. But I love that. I love the connections.
Here we are.
Here we are talking about it, right? I love the connections between the Spider-Man movies and Smallville, you know, because, you know, mm-hmm. Goff and Millar wrote Spider-Man 2, or they, you know, they co-wrote it.
Yeah.
And I always felt like if Smallville were to become movies, right, they would be the Spider-Man movies, right?
Yes.
So there's this, I mean, they came around the same time, you know. I always say that, like, if I was a superhero, I would be Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. That's, like, me, you know, my personality
Love
and stuff.
It.
Like, yeah, I know we talk about Clark Kent and all that stuff, but it's, like, if for real, like, cause I'm a photographer, right? I mean, literally, that's what I do. So I relate to Peter Parker in many ways. So that's a great bit of inside trivia. Now, you mentioned that last scene of Facade. We talked about it a little bit last week on the podcast, but that scene is memorable to me as well, because, you know, as someone who loved Chloe back in the day and related to Chloe, right, as you did, I took it the other way. I'm like, God, this is heartbreaking. Why do you hate Chloe so much, Smallville? You know, she's been through so. Why are you doing this to her? Right, this is the guy she's loved for 4 years. Here comes her cousin out of nowhere. And now they're in love. That's heartbreaking. Why do you like that? Because it breaks my heart, Victoria, that happens to poor Chloe there.
I know it broke my heart too, but I feel like we can or at least I could totally relate to Chloe and always being the friend who kind of got passed over. So I was like, it was almost like empathetic and feeling like there was my pain was being represented on screen to like a song that I would like listen to in my bedroom and feel angsty about. And it was like, yes, on my favorite show and I could relate. And I was like, oh,
I get it. Yes, so you embrace the angst of it all. Okay.
Yes.
All
right. There was so much preteen angst. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I follow you. But good for you. I'm glad you embraced the angst. It just made me feel so bad for myself and for Chloe at the time. But anyway, but Chloe has a lot to do in this episode, doesn't she? In Devoted. So these two episodes. When you talk about Facade and Devoted, right? Because we're kind of talking about both now. I always get them kind of confused. You know, I was even talking to Craig Byrne, our friend who runs Krypton's site and wrote the Smallville Companion books. And he was like, wait, is that the one with the Gatorade? Like, even he gets them confused because it's like the two really, really high school episodes at the beginning of season four, and they're back to back. And, you know, I get them confused sometimes. So.
Yeah, I think they're very similar in tone. They have this like similar tone, and even cinematography, they feel really like bright and saturated. I noticed that as I was watching Devoted. Everything seems like an extra Technicolor, where I feel like season three in particular was so like almost like blue and stark. So I think I loved watching like this kind of like bright Technicolor high school Smallville.
Well, you mentioned season three, and in Smallville, the Official Companion season four by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. Al Goff had this to say. After season three, which I think had been getting kind of dark, where we spent a lot of time in secret labs, we wanted to get back to the high school aspect of the show, figuring it's their last year of high school. The idea being that in season one, Clark couldn't play football because Jonathan was concerned about his ability to control his powers. And now, we felt that Clark's a senior. Let's let him play. Let him have some conflict with Jonathan about it. It went a little to the John Byrne reboot of Superman, where he did play football in Smallville. So there was a precedent for it. We like the idea of letting Clark have some popularity as a football star. If you had superpowers, wouldn't you do it? So, I see what they're saying, because season three, one of my favorite seasons of the show, it did get kind of dark, it got kind of adult. It was very, you know, in the Metropolis Luther world. But I love that, right? I love that about Smallville. And I think they kind of overcompensated some with the high school stuff, because, I don't know, maybe it's because I didn't play football, right? Maybe it's because I'm more on the nerd side. I was in marching band, okay? So, like, Clark playing football, like, I didn't relate to that. And I thought, like, we had addressed that, like, back in season one. And I thought it was well done back then, and I didn't think we needed to go back there. And yes, in some versions of the comics that he does play football and all that stuff. But in, like, the iconic version of Superman the movie, he doesn't. That's the whole big Smallville part is, like, he's off the team. The guys are making fun of him. They leave him there to clean up the mess. But his dad tells him he's not there to score touchdowns, you know, and that's a great lesson. But here in season four in Smallville, like, yeah, let's have him score some touchdowns. I don't know. Where do you stand on Clark playing football, Victoria?
I think I actually am okay with it. I think because Clark has been through so much crazy stuff that I'm like, oh my gosh, just let the boy have a normal high school experience. I think because we got to a point where things were so bonkers and we have him flying, which was awesome. I'm not saying that wasn't awesome. And like everything felt so, it got to this crazy place, and it's not crazier. It just got to this very kind of like superhero-y place that I really almost cherished. Like one of the things I actually do love about this episode is Clark has like a normal interpersonal problem that a high school student would have. He's not getting along with his other teammates, or he doesn't know how to find his place with the other teammates, which I'm sure we'll talk more about. But I think I like that Clark, because I grew to love Clark, not just because he's Adonis, but like as a character throughout the show. And so I think because you root for him, and clearly this means so much for him, and it's something that he's desired to do for so long, you want to let him have those moments and little havens of normalcy. So I was okay with it, especially because it was just the one season. And I think they do interesting things with it this season when we get further along with him going to Met U and all that good stuff.
Fair enough. So I know a lot of people have a lot of different points of view about season four. So I've notoriously said that it's my least favorite season, but you know what? Let's talk about it here.
And it's my favorite, so let's do it.
Mandy, right? I'm Lois Lane. I'm doing an article for The Torch about what happened to your boyfriend.
She doesn't want to talk about it.
I don't want to write the article either, but my cousin dumped it on me and I need the credits, so let's...
I wouldn't give that Key Craig a quote if it were the last paper on Earth.
Darn. And I thought it was going to be so insightful. Oh, look. Your valets are here. Except you don't have one anymore, do you?
I could have another boyfriend.
It's amazing what a short skirt and the ability to rhyme will get you. Oh, advanced chem. How many cheerleaders does it take to draw a double helix?
Do you want a quote?
Yeah.
Back off, bitch.
Just got my headline.
Devoted is the fourth episode of Smallville's fourth season. It aired on October 13th, 2004. It was written by Luke Schilhaz. Don't know if I pronounced that right. It sounds German to me. But was directed by David Carson. Now, David Carson, very familiar name to me being a Star Trek fan. He actually directed Star Trek Generations, the first Next Generation movie, and also directed my favorite episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, Yesterday's Enterprise. That's the one with the Enterprise C and Tasha Yar comes back, and just it's my favorite episode of The Next Generation. So that was cool to see that kind of crossover. And he's actually directed three episodes of Smallville. He directed Rogue back in season one, which is a great season one episode. And he also directs one more this season as well. So whenever my fandoms like Star Trek and Superman have some crossover, it always catches my eye. But so this episode starts out in their football practice. And, you know, is it just me, Victoria? Or, you know, I remember in season one when Lana was on the cheerleading squad, I felt like their offense were a little more modest, weren't they?
Yeah, for sure. We've gone full sleut in this, but I think we get a little, this is kind of like a, well, we were talking about, you sent me this really funny promo, or you posted this really funny promo for the show, for this episode where they were like, thirst, Smallville thirst. And I think the best, it was so ahead of its time using that term, because I think the best descriptor for this episode is thirsty, like both literally and figuratively. And then when you originally messaged me and was like, Victoria, here are the episodes I'd love you to join me for season four. I was like, oh my God. And I saw Devoted. I was like, oh my God, I've never felt more seen. Like, I've never felt more understood. So I'm like, yeah, like it's just thirsty. Like the cheerleaders are thirstier. Their outfits are thirstier. Their ambitions are thirstier. And I am here for it.
You know, that is that's probably a better term than I've been using. I've been using the term, to lack of a better term, trashy season four. It just feels a little trashy, you know, because my friend Nancy, who I introduced to Smallville through this, and she's been watching episodes as she goes, and she talked to me about Facade last week. She hasn't watched the whole show. She kind of sees handfuls of episodes. I'm like, hey, check these out. We're going to talk about these and stuff. And she's like, What changed with the show between seasons? Is this the same? I just make sure that I'm watching like the next season from season three, you know, because because there's a feel to the show, and I thought and that's why I love having her on, because she has a unique perspective than us who've like lived and breathed this stuff for years. She's like, yeah, there was a feel, a tone to the show, and it seems to have shifted in season four, and in the beginning of episodes here in season four really you say that. So thirsty is a good term. Maybe I'll use that instead. And also, as you mentioned, the promo for Devoted, they call it Smallville Thirst. And as we know, there's an episode 2 years later, or 1 year later, called Thirst. So, I mean, there's only so many words you could use. And since Smallville has one-word episode titles, you're going to run out eventually, right? But we see football practice. Clark is on the bench here. There is the starting quarterback, right, is in, because he's the first stringer, as he would be. Because these guys are seniors, and Clark's a senior, and he hasn't played in 3 years. So, ergo, he's on the bench. But, like, they break, and then they go get some, the players go to get some Gatorade. And the main cheerleader, Mandy, I believe, is her name. And she's credited Mandy the cheerleader in the credits.
Classic.
She's like, hey, are we still going to, you know, go out on Saturday? He's like, oh, no way. I'm hanging out with the boys on Saturday. You know, just like... okay, you know, and she's like, oh, it's fine, here, have some drink. And it's Smallville, right? So it's green and it's kryptonite, and then we see this CSI thing.
Oh my gosh.
Zoom in. And it is Kryptonite Gatorade. I guess a Caterade.
That's what we're calling it for the rest of the episode. Rest of the podcast.
So what did you think of this?
Caterade.
What did you think of this setup for what we're dealing with this week?
Oh my goodness. You know, I usually try to defend like the wacky science behind all of this, like try to step through it. But I was like, how does it work? And like, cause it's not even like it's not almost like even like a Cupid thing where it's like, you're looking like the person you come to desire, like the right person you're looking at. It's
I was thinking that too. Like, it was kind of vague. Cause I was like, oh, because you see him look at her and then later on you see Jason look at Lana. You're like, oh, is that how it works? But that's not how it works. So.
But then plot twist, it's not. And, but part of me likes that Mandy, Mandy's smart enough to engineer this. Like, it's kind of trying to turn the trope of the cheerleader, but everything else about her character is so atrociously stereotypical that I'm like, we just needed like a little more depth here. But I think it's just kooky. It's kooky. And I feel like it's one of those things where you have to just be like, okay, so this is the ride we're going on. Like, I'm not, it's almost like you almost have to surrender up front and just be like, I am here for this thirsty, crazy ride.
Yes. It's, you just go with it at this point, right?
It's about to get real weird.
Yeah. So he brings his Gatorade and we have a +1 for under the influence, right? For the quarterback here. And, he says, oh yeah, forget it. Let's go shopping right now. You know, and he like leaves the field, and then Jason Teague, everyone's favorite assistant coach, we'll talk about him more as this episode progresses. He's like, hey, whoa, where are you going? You walk off that field, you're on the bench. He's like, whatever, screw you, coach, or whatever he says, and he leaves. And it's like, whoa, okay. So this gives Clark his opportunity to go in the game, and I love this. Clark, he has not played football very much. So he lines up behind the wrong guy. He's like, blue 42, right? He's like, I'm not the center, jerk. I thought that was really funny. So for them to actually like make note of the fact that Clark doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. There are actually some really good moments of humor in this episode. It's mostly because of Lois. She's kind of like in my opinion, she's the saving grace of this episode. She's the thing that makes it tolerable. But yeah, I do like how they had like that kind of moment and they went for some of the last one they could. And they made Clark fumble a little more, I think, because we're always used to seeing Clark in control and being able to save the day. I think that's something I liked about this episode is that he's outside of his comfort zone in a situation that we can relate to, that your base everyday average viewer could relate to.
He does well, right? He gets a long pass, and it's like, all right. So, and this is where we get in season 4. There's so many shots of like people looking up, you know, and they're like a football in the air. You know, this episode, the something coming up, as you mentioned, as Clark continues to play football. So it's very amusing to see it becomes really stereotypical high school like sports movie there. But he does well, and then we cut to the locker room. And Jason, so here's a point here, right? It's after practice, right? Let's remember the football guy, the quarterback, I believe it's Daryl, the thing, what's his name? Or
not important.
I can't even read what I wrote here. His name is Jock, number one. He was supposed to go take his girlfriend shopping, right?
Yes.
But yet he's here in the locker room. When everyone else is done, like this is after practice, Jason and Clark are wearing normal clothes. He's still in his football pants. He shows up in a shotgun to attack Jason Teague. So that's a plot hole, ladies and gentlemen, because he should have been right?
Yeah. Well, no, because there's this like one, it's kind of established later because there's like this one quick interaction where Jason like just, because Jock number one, because his name doesn't really deserve to be remembered, even though he's crazy, crazy town banana pants. He's like, I'm taking Mandy shopping. And Jason just looks at her like, what? Like, kind of like, what is going on? And then he's like, are you checking out my girl, coach? And he's like,
oh, yes,
what?
That's a very important plot element that I skipped over.
Yeah, so, and then that establishes that the Caterade also makes people hella jealous. So I think that's why, I guess he did his shopping. Mandy, like, released him after he did his shopping. And then he was like, that wasn't cool, Coach T. Time to die. So he comes back with a shotgun.
As you do.
Which I almost felt was offensive to people who live in, like, middle America. Like, everyone just has a gun.
Well, it is Kansas. Them? You know, it's interesting. Now, this counts as like a school shooting, which we've done before on Smallville and Extinction. And it's like, whoa, Smallville, like this is, don't go here, you know. But angry student comes to school with the shock. Yeah, it was. You would not see this as perfect. It's a different time. Absolutely. You would not see this as a plot element today. He would have had, I don't know, maybe just beat him up or something. It wouldn't be have a shotgun. So he starts blowing up the locker room, and Clark comes in because he's always around. And he sees, you know, we get some Clark speed here. We see this shotgun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people might not realize this, but shotguns, they fire like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a cluster.
Yes.
Of pellets, right? I'm terrible at explaining this. So you the spray of the bullets go everywhere, and then it shatters a mirror. So that's a pretty cool effect. And Clark tackles Jason out of the way, and then he uses his heat vision to heat up the shotgun. And then Jock number one drops it, and then we get our main credits. And that's a plot element later on. The heat ended the situation, right? We go to the main credits, we come back, and we have Lana patching up Jason. And what is your feelings on the Jason Lana relationship?
Oh, woof!
Again, in something else you would not see today. I don't think.
On television. Oh my! I know. I was like, this is crazy. Also, it's like she's. I get it. She's legal. Like we established in this episode that she's definitely 18 and she's legal.
Oh, we do.
But. Yeah, or she's like, she has a line later when she's confronting Clark. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead to, I watched a bunch of episodes after I started with Devoted and then like got sucked in and watched a couple more. It's actually established in Transference, or like it's established that she's 18 and she, like they are adults. Because she says we're both adults and we're not hurting anyone. Yeah, damn well better be. So it's like, whatever. But it's also like, who is letting this girl like live with this guy alone? Also, like, was this not a red flag?
Does he live there? Because I think he does.
I think he does too. Like, it's kind of awkward. Like, I'm like, what? This is.
Well, every conversation they've had at this point, right, has been, I'm a student. You're at my school, Coach Teague. It's like, yeah, you keep bringing it up. Like, it's like you have this awkward situation. And you keep waving the awkward flag in our face.
Yeah, no, it's like we mustn't tell everyone. We must remind ourselves always that we can't tell anyone about our secret relationship. but, oh my God, I just remember, like, I can't, oh God, it was just Lana. She just came back from Paris and she's like, I'm really annoying and I wear jewel tones now. And, like, everyone has to take me seriously. And it's
just. Yeah, because I that's a great point about her road trip. She's like all in black and dark colors.
And I wear chandelier and earrings and I'm very edgy. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I'm just like, oh, your character. And I know it's not your fault, but you're just becoming totally, it's just not going in a good place. Also, she's so self-centered. She's like, how do you think I felt when I heard that I had to hear that you were hurt from somebody else? I'm like, he almost died. Like, a student opened fire at him. And you're worried about that you couldn't hear it from the horse's mouth? Like, what?
Yeah, she's not helping the cause for the haters. No, and we established here that Jason continues to be like Lex Light, right? He's like, oh, my dad cut me off or whatever. I'm like, ugh. Like, can we stop taking character elements of other characters and applying them to Jason?
Also, I'm like, Lana, that's, how do you not like see that as, so I did think about this a little. I'm like, how is this not a red flag for you that this guy like gave up his whole future to coach football in a small town and like hang out and maybe shack up with you? I'm like, that would be such a red flag. But Victoria,
it works with his college schedule. He said so. Which is like, but I guess I guess he goes to Central Kansas A&M. It's driving distance from Smallville.
But you know what else I thought though? I'm like, Lana, I guess Lana was just like, yeah, of course this is like how a guy would because she's just had everyone be obsessed with her since, like, I don't know, if she maybe hit puberty, maybe before. So she's like, oh yeah, this is just how this happens. Like, everyone's obsessed with me. And we just like, oh yeah, no, this is totally normal. This is us just being young and in love, I guess. Cause I'm just like, I would be like very concerned if this guy.
You wouldn't find that romantic if some guy moved across the world that you've known for 3 months. By the way,
yeah.
If we're going by the timetable here, because they've been dating for 3 months and they're already quote unquote in love, dropping the L bomb already. That's a red flag. That's soon. That's I'm just saying. All right. and then moving across the world, as you said, to become an assistant football coach at the
Smallville High School. At your high school where you can't, like, really, where you're both in danger. Like, he's in danger of getting fired and going to jail, and you're in danger of just being, like, of, like, your future being compromised. I'm just like, this, and the immortal words of Ron Burgundy, like, that escalated quickly. This whole episode escalates quickly.
So this is just to establish some of them, because it'll come into play later in the episode. And then we cut to Lois, and she's on her flip phone in high school, which, you know, they didn't allow cell phones in high school back then, by the way.
But Lois Lane doesn't care. Like, Lois Lane is here to break the rules.
Yes, that's right. By the way, what did you think of this plot where Lois failed high school and has to go back and finish her credits?
Love it. Into it.
You love it. You love it. See, I don't love it. I went on a rant last week about it. Because I just think, because Lois Lane, if she shows up, I want her to have her S together. You know? Like, I want her to be, like, the best.
But she's becoming Lois. And she's, I think Lois, I'm not saying that she's not intelligent, because I think she's brilliant. But I don't think she's not necessarily, like, school smarts. Or her intelligence, her brilliance lies outside of, like, traditional, I think, school. So I think she was, like, busy doing other things. And, like, she failed not because she's not smart, even though it is established in the Superman films that she's not a great speller. It's not that she's not smart. I think she just wasn't going to class. That's like my headcanon around it. It's not that she's not a smart person. It's just that she's off, like, doing her own Lois thing. And so now she's like, and then she was ready to take on college and be her Lois self, but then she got held back.
Mm-hmm. But that's a continuity problem, because remember back in season one, when Chloe was going to go visit her cousin in college, and we all thought was Lois, and that would have made sense because Chloe was a freshman in high school, Lois had been a freshman in college, she'd been 4 years older. We actually kind of mentioned in Gone that Lois was 6 when her mom died, and it's been 15 years, which would make her 21. So I'm like, oh, that'll make sense. And then we have, like, you failed. Quit, you know, Michael Ironside tells your last episode, you failed your last semester of high school, back to Smallville High. And you're like, wait a minute. So classic Smallville continuity fail. It's fine, though. I get it. You guys are making this up as you go along. But I had to point that out because this is a podcast where I have to nitpick everything about the show I love more than anything. So love this, though. Clark gets a letter jacket. Okay.
Yes.
Kind of weird to see him one, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love everyone's banter. I love the little bit Chloe and Lois do about it. The whole, it's not really your color, especially because that's like
it's the school's colors.
Yeah, but it's also like,
he has to say that both to them both. Totally.
Yeah. And also because it's obviously like a little, those colors are also the Superman costume colors as well, because it's red and yellow.
Well, yeah. So that's how I read it. They were kind of, it was kind of a joke saying like, where's the blue? You know, like, but it didn't
He's
work
wearing a
quite
blue shirt.
As like if, yeah. But if Smallville was like purple and green, then it would have maybe funnier, I guess. But because it's red and yellow, like, well, those are Superman colors. But see, I saw it as more like, oh, those, that's like the Flash colors, right? That's not your colors. But so when I was in high school, because I have to keep bringing this back, right? I did get a letter jacket for academics, band, and newspaper. I'll have you know. So yes, we give out letter jackets for non-athletics these days. So my school colors were red, white, and blue.
Oh my gosh!
So me and Lance, everybody knows Lance, right? We're friends, right? And back in high school, and I wear my jacket, and he's like, "Those aren't your colors." I was like, "That's the school's colors," you know. So once again, life imitating art, imitating life. But anyway, I'll post a picture of me in my letter jacket, for all y'all to admire. So anyway, yes, I have a big band sticker on the side because that's
classic.
What I got it for. But anyway, so they're in the Torch office here, the three of them, Chloe is like Perry White now, apparently, giving these guys assignments. She's like, well, we have all these stories to cover, and my only two reporters are nowhere to be found. I'm like, okay, again, how are there only two people that work for the Torch?
I found this scene, like, really heartbreaking, though, and honestly kind of natural or realistic in the fact that Clark and Lois would kind of be two self-absorbed teenagers, and it made me really hurt for Chloe because I guess maybe the Torch is really only her thing and there aren't a lot of people who are interested in it. And she's like she's the engine behind it. And it really made my heart break for her. And because I was like, oh, it's just her. And like these, and the, Clark and Lois can't get behind her. And I hated that. I'm also like, guys, Chloe was dead like 2 weeks ago. Like, you can't like give her this. Like, this girl has been through a lot. I know our short-term memory is very ephemeral here. But yeah, it didn't bump my head that she would only really be the only person running the torch.
Well, I've complained about that since episode one of this show. She was a freshman in high school who was apparently the editor of the high school paper. That makes no sense. Like, they should have had, they really, honestly, they should have had some kind of, that's one of Smallville's bigger weaknesses, especially later in the high school years. There are no authority figures anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no principals, there's no teachers, there's no coaches. The only coach here is dating a student, okay? Inappropriate, insubordinate, and churlish. That's a Key and Peele reference. But anyway, so I just do teacher. I love it. So.
I love it.
They could have had like 5 episodes a season, right? Not a big deal. But mm-hmm. someone who was like, quote unquote, in charge of the newspaper who Chloe had to like interact with and could have gave Chloe some more stuff outside of like, oh, Lana, you're dating Clark. I don't like you. Oh, Lois, you're dating Clark. I don't like you. Yes, she had all her Lionel Luther stuff. But
yeah.
You know, to have some more like, you know, high school stuff for everybody, not just for Clark. So that's what I think. But anyway, you're right. This is sad because Lois is like, I'm trying to get out of here. You know, I'm on the phone with the dean. And Clark's like, well, Chloe, I'm on the football team now, so I'm going to have to dial back what I do with the tourists. And she's like, oh, it's fine. You know, you do feel bad for Chloe because everybody's peace gone. Everybody's leaving, right?
Yeah. Poor girl.
So then we cut to the locker room and the Smallville High School team has new jerseys.
Oh my God.
To you by Lex Luthor himself. And I love this whole speech where he's like, I heard it's going to be a rebuilding season. And I encourage you all to keep trying. You know, like, things worth having are you got to fight for. Like, it's totally like, Clark, will you be my friend again? Right? And it's so over the top. And I love, 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 love at the end when he's like, all right, guys, enjoy the jerseys. He walks off. And Clark's like, I know what you're doing. You can't buy back my friendship, Lex. It's like, Clark's getting smart now, huh?
I watched this scene. And I was like, oh, now I understand why there is so much Clex fan fiction. Because I was just like, oh. Like,
you like, complete me, Clark.
I was like, this is a totally normal. This is the first time, like, ever. Because, again, I watched Smallville when I was younger and more impressionable. This is the first time where I'm like, this is creepy AF. Like, this guy's in his 30s and Clark is 17. Like, this is so weird. But then there's, like, all this,
he's
like,
not,
kind
he's
of, like,
not,
tension.
He's not in his 30s. I think he's in his early 20s.
Early 20s. Okay, still.
He's older. I think he's around the same age Jason Teague is.
Oh, my, yeah. And that's totally normal, totally chill, and totally cool. But, yeah, I was like, what the F? And, like, at least I'm like, I'm glad that Clark at least called him out on it. He's like, you can't just, like, this is so obvious. This is so clear what you're trying to do here. Like, at least Clark has wised up somewhat, because I think maybe season one
Clark would have been all over it. Yeah.
No, he would have been
like, wow, he bought us jerseys, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. He would have been like, Dad, look at my new jersey. Like, no, for sure.
You know where that money came from, son? Old man Withers down the yard. We had to close out his farm because of the cream corn factory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we get it. But anyway.
Yeah, but no, it was really like, I was like, oh, now I understand. Literally now I understand the scores, if not hundreds, if not thousands of Clex fanfics out there. Like, I get it now. Like, my eyes are open.
They really are the best couple on the show. So we get to our follow-up practice here. Mm-hmm. And Chloe has to do all the reporting now. So even though we heard that Jock number one went to the hospital, we never got to see him. So we missed out on a hospital visit, guys. It's unfortunate.
What a bummer. I feel like we'll never get an opportunity to go again.
We might have very well seen the last of Smallville General Hospital. We might have.
Fingers crossed
but,
we go back.
So Chloe's doing her beat reporting, trying to talk to it picks a bad time to interview these people. They're in the middle of practice. She tries to interview Jason. He's like, maybe later. And Clark like runs out of bounds during practice and she tries to interview him then. Like, Chloe, you're a better reporter than this, girl.
I was like, so, honey, don't. Honey, just sit on the bleachers. Like, please don't.
So she goes to get a drink of Gatorade.
Uh oh.
And she becomes our plus two of under the influence because she drinks and she's like, Clark. And again, she's looking at him. So you're like, is it one of these like first person you see things?
Yeah.
But no, it's confusing.
Yeah, but no, No.
No, it's not. Twist! It's not. So then we get a scene in the torch where Chloe kind of turns it over to Lola. She's like, all right, I'm going to need you to do everything now. I'm leaving. I understand why it never worked between me and Clark. I'm devoted to him. And we say, a lot of people say devoted throughout the episode. So we get a plus one for episode title, said in episode.
Yes, this is our first.
And she starts taking the wall of weird down, which is always like what she does in these scenarios, right? Yeah. And Lois is like, stop with your crazy talk.
I love so that.
This is a good scene. And you know, they do have some conflict here, you know? She's like, I thought you'd be happy for me. So this was actually a nice scene between them, I thought, even if Chloe's under the influence.
Like, after three seasons of just, I cannot emphasize enough, and it really dawned on me when I was rewatching this episode, what a breath of fresh air Lois was and is, and I think continues to be throughout the season, because I feel like by the end of season three, like, this love, I can't even assign a shape to it. I'm just going to call it a love shape between Clark, Lana, and Chloe. It's just like, by the end of season three, it was just agony and anguish. And I do love how Lois comes in and she has this banter with Clark and they kind of don't like each other. And she comes in and she shakes things up with Chloe too. And to me, like, literally, I like exhaled during this episode. I'm like, this is so nice. Especially after like those like almost unwatchable Lana and Jason scenes. It's like, oh, this dynamic is so much better.
Well, Lois now has to go interview these cheerleaders, and this scene is so catty.
Oh my god,
like catty up to 11, right?
Oh my god, I just wrote the cheerleaders' dialogue is truly atrocious. Like, oh, like I could have written the dialogue when I was watching this show at 12 years old. Like it was just the most unimaginative. Like, let's go to the mall. We're having a bikini party. Like, just like, and it makes me angry. Because I think they had, like, I liked that they took, like, the hot blonde cheerleader, but she's actually, like, super smart. I guess because I just love the smart crazies on Smallville, see Alicia Baker. But I was just like, you had, like, this was cool. Like, yeah, you're trying to, like, kind of flip the stereotype. But then they have this, like, truly just, like, hurtful dialogue. It hurt to see them say it and hear it.
Yeah, it's what a 45-year-old man probably thinks teenagers talk, like, oh, totally, you know, like, yes, we get it, okay? But, you know, let's talk about some of these cheerleaders here. We're giving Smallville a hard time for continuity, right? So the main cheerleader, Mandy, we hadn't seen her before. She's new, right? But yes. One of the cheerleaders, Rhonda, was actually back in Drone. Her name was Felice back then. Maybe she changed her name. I don't know. Maybe she's going by her middle name now.
Well, you know, high school's a time for exploration and inventing and finding yourself. You know,
but she was the one running. She was one of the people running for class president back in Drone, and then she got stung by all the bees, right? So I'm just gonna say this is the same character.
Oh,
so good on you, Smallville, for the continuity there. Cool. So we have a returning character. One of the other cheerleaders, Mary, she was back in Whisper. One of the when Pete goes in, like, yeah, I saved myself. Yeah, what up? Right, all the girls hanging out around him. She was one of those girls, right? Ooh. So good on you there. She also appears later on the season in Unsafe. So. Good background character continuity. This is the kind of stuff I wanted to see. It's very minor, but it's like, oh, I recognize this person before. We don't have to have a flashback to season one at the beginning of the episode like we did last week to shoehorn this person in.
Yeah, right.
And then finally, Amara, the cheerleader, she was back in Velocity. She was, I think, Dante's girlfriend.
Okay.
And then Mara, also she spicy. Appears in Unsafe as well. I know, right? Mar Jade. That's what I think of. That's a good name, I think. So anyway, good on you, Smallville, for giving these background actresses some FaceTime, some dialogue. I know it's not much, but for Smallville, it is.
No, so, I just feel bad for these girls because I just know working in film, like when you have to speak, that's when you're paid as like a real actor. Because if you don't speak, you can be paid as an extra, even if you're featured on camera. And I just feel bad for these girls who like get their moment to shine on Smallville, and it's Clark's hot. Invite him to your pool party.
That's so good. You know, speaking of an actress who never got a chance to speak on Smallville,
Evangeline Lilly.
Yes, that's the one. Yes,
I only know that because I follow you on Facebook. I follow Always Smallville.
There it
on
is.
Facebook. I'm not saying I don't independently know that. I'm going to own up to it.
That's right. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S.
It's good time.
But yes, Evangeline Lilly. She was an extra on Smallville for the first 3 years of the show. And now she's the Wasp. So good on her, right? And, you know, obviously she's been lost and she's gone Lord of the Rings and all that stuff. But anyway, and didn't pick her out of the crowd. Missed that one, Smallville. But anyway, back to the conversation in hand. This, I love this conversation because everyone just hates each other so much. And then it ultimately results in one of the greatest lines in Smallville history where it's like, you want a quote? Back off, bitch. And then they all proceed to like shoulder bump Lois, like all three of her, four of them. And I'm like, this is not the show. This is not the show I fell in love with, but I'm laughing and having a good time watching it at least, right?
But here we are, and so we might as well.
What is it with all the bitch being said on the show now? They said it last week. They say it this week a couple times. You know, it's like, come on, Smallville.
We're edgier. We're thirstier. We're like a whole new. We shook it up this season. We really like shook things up and took it to the next level.
Well, talk about being thirsty to the next level. Clark comes home from school to find Chloe in his loft dressed in nothing but his football jersey.
Right? Iconic.
This is great, right? And of course, he's number 8, which is, of course, the Kryptonian symbol that was branded in his chest. So that's a little in joke there.
Ooh, I didn't pick up on that.
I mean, and I'm gonna say it, right? This is every guy's fantasy, I think, to have some attractive girl waiting at home for you in nothing but your shirt, right?
I mean, equal opportunity. It would be my fantasy to have Clark Kent come home to me. So yeah, sure, jersey, whatever you want, dude. Like, let's do it.
So she's really coming on strong, and he's like kind of clueless at first, and then she starts to like straddle him, and he's like, whoa, what is this? She's like, oh, I quit the torch, I'm gonna spend more time with you. And he's like, well, what is this? None of this explains why you're wearing nothing but my jersey.
So good.
And she's and the one line that always stuck out to me out of this whole situation is like, I'll do anything for you, Clark, things that Lana would never do, right?
Yes, which we learn more about in Unsafe. Chloe's
that's a good point. Past. I didn't think of
that. Romantic past. I didn't think about that. I'm gonna put it.
Oh boy. So then she starts, you know, making out with him, and he's like, "Oh, stop!" I'm like, "Okay, what the hell is wrong with you, Clark?" Like, I will never understand this about.
Well,
Clark
yeah, but then it's also like kind of like he keeps kissing her, and then I was like, "Oh my god, are we kind of bordering on like a consent issue right now?" But then I'm also like, I'm like Psycho Chloe's mood, but then I'm also like, this is. But then it gets to that point, and again, now watching it older, I'm like, wait, because you don't see him kind of like. And I'm sure he did it very gingerly, but firmly. Like, he didn't, like, stop it. I was like, oh, my God, wait. This is getting, like, uncomfortable. Like, it's not, like, funny uncomfortable. Now it's just kind of uncomfortable.
That's right, because then we cut to commercial. And we're like, what happened there? You know, because usually when you cut to commercial after something like that, you know. But we cut back. And Martha... It's like the next morning, right? Martha's like, Clark, I got all your football stuff together, but I couldn't find your jersey. And he's like, it's in the bar. So I can only assume that he like got Chloe some clothes and sent her on her way. But this is our, you know, we have our annual Clark Chloe kiss, right? We had it in Hug. Mm-hmm. We had it in Rush. Mm-hmm. We had it in Magnetic, which is what last episode you were on. So it all ties together.
Perfect.
And then we had it this episode. So.
I'm glad we got it out of the way early this season.
Yeah, well, you know, in season 5, it's like the climax of my favorite kiss on the whole show, because that's like epic right there, I think. Like, that's my favorite, like, moment on the show from their romance, is when Chloe and Clark kiss before he goes off to save the world. I was like, oh, they're going to do it. They're going to turn Chloe into Lois. I can't wait. And they didn't do it, but it's fine. Anyway, so this happens a lot in this episode now, and let's keep an eye out for it, because this is the first of 3 instances where Clark is talking to Martha. I love it when they has the mom-son talks, because I'm real close to my mom, and we always talk about stuff like, well, not everything, okay? I'm not as open with my parents as Clark is with his, but me and my mom have a good relationship, so I always like it when Clark and Martha have a good relationship here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're talking about, you know, Chloe came on to me last night, and, you know, and she's like, well, maybe she thinks life is too short, and because they don't know anything's wrong with her yet, you know?
Right.
Which is, Clark, really, you should have figured, like, Chloe doesn't act this way. Maybe you should have figured something out, but he's like, yeah, I don't feel the same way. He's like, well, you have to tell her, you know, some great mom advice, right? So Clark's in the kitchen. This all happens, right? Martha leaves. Jonathan comes in, and, like, the scene continues with another character. This happens like three times in the episode where Clark is in one location, one character comes in, they have their scene, and then it's like, all right, next. And now Jonathan comes in and talks to him about football. But anyway, what are your thoughts on these scenes here between these guys?
Even if that keeps happening, I was so okay with it because these scenes are my favorite of the episode because they're so lovely. And I think I've never, again, you know, I'm a broken record. Like I watched this series or I watched the season for the first time when I was young. It was the first Smallville season I watched live on the WB because this is when I joined the show. And I was also watching the show syndicated on what used to be ABC Family. And then I got the DVDs and like totally caught up. But this was like, so this was really just me learning about the show. But I love the scenes with Clark and his parents. And I thought they were so great and so vulnerable. Like he's opening up, like he's like, Mom, I don't know what to do here. And she gives him really honest, open advice and like kind of challenges him a little, but not in like a bad confrontational way. And I really loved the scene with Clark and Jonathan too. Like the second half of the scene, it's not a separate scene because again, they're in this,
right.
We just start to cycle in the next parent. But this is the highlight of the episode for me. And again, this is like the one saving grace other than Lois, like keeping it real with her humor. The highlight of the episode for me is these like lovely interactions and with Clark and his parents talking about things that viewers, like younger viewers could actually relate to, like girl and boy drama. And then like not getting along with other people in or not getting along with your peers. It doesn't have to be your teammates. Because I was a theater geek in high school, so like it could be me not getting along with the other kids in the play. So I don't think I was as cognizant of it because I'm just like, oh, something is so smooth in this episode. Like, let me just relish this before we go back to Thirst Town.
Well, the thing about Jonathan is a great point that they make. It's like, yeah, I don't think the guys like me, and it's like, yeah, because they were teammates for 4 years and you just show up and now you're the quarterback because, you know, only because of this episode, right? Because if this, all the stuff hadn't happened and Homeboy hadn't tried to kill the coach with a gun, he would have been the quarterback. So man, that sucks for your senior year. Got played, bro. So, this is good life advice that Jonathan gives him, you know, also as I pointed out earlier, huge continuity error here. Jonathan says that he was like a quarterback his sophomore year and he had to win over the guys. I don't remember what position it was. But I'm pretty sure in Hothead, the other football episode back in season 1, they mentioned that Jonathan was like a halfback or he was not a quarterback. Okay. But because Clark's a quarterback now, Jonathan has to have been a quarterback in high school. So anyway, I just got to throw that out there. So anyway, continuity. But these are why I go back and forth between what my least favorite season is, 4 or 7. And I think, I don't know, because the Kents are still here in 4 and I love these scenes. So yeah. 4 might get the edge. We'll see. So. So then we get another Jason and Lana scene, and Woof. Jason apparently sent her a note, as she says, my entire advanced lit class got a note that Coach T needed to see me, and then he's like kissing her in the middle of the hall. She's like, Jason, stop it. You know, it's like, again, they're drawing attention to how inappropriate this is, and she's like, you get fired. He's like, I don't care. I'm devoted to you or whatever, right?
Devoted. Yeah, oh my God, it's just painful. I said, like, I think I was, when I was scribbling things down, jotting things down while I was watching this episode, I was like, oh, that was super lovely. And I was like, oh, only to be ruined by Lana and Coach T. But I do think it's interesting, though, like, with this stuff, since Jason and Clark are so, he's an advocate for Clark. And before, again, things escalate thanks to Caterade. So I think it does, one valuable thing here is that it does make for like an interesting love triangle and tension here, because like there's the whole thing with Clark and Lana and their past, but it's kind of, again, like a new dynamic that's refreshing after the Klana agony, like the height of the Klana agony in season 3. But I, as much as I don't like Lana and Jason, like at least I feel like this part of the episode used it to kind of elevate the relationship dynamics a little bit.
And also he tells her to show up at practice just for like 10 minutes, right? You know, and that sets up why she's at football practice later, right? And that sets a whole new problem in motion.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is what I really enjoyed, because at least like the shenanigans here, like kind of lead Clark on and kind of makes things a little more spicy and complicated.
Yeah, because, and you know, one of the things he said to his mom earlier about Chloe is like, well, I just don't think I'm over Lana yet. So, you know, good on you, Clark. You don't want Chloe to be a rebound girl. I respect that. Yeah, yeah. You know? But you know, Clark's at practice here and he sees Lana in the stands. He's like, Lana, you know, as he always said, you always have to say her name. But Lana, like she knows who she is. Okay. Lana.
She's like dormantly possessed by a witch, but it's cool. We're not there yet.
So he goes up to her, he's like, oh, what are you doing at football practice? And she has to cover and have some kind of explanation why she's there. And she's like, oh, well, a word on the street is Clark Kent's our new quarterback. And he's like, oh, you came to see me? She's like, yeah, that's why I'm here. It's like, oh, poor Clark thinks Lana's here to see him, right?
Yeah, I like that. At least that was like used to make things a little more rich.
Also, Jason Teague sees this, right? And Caterate, we get our Caterate Jason. We get our opening credits shot of Jason here.
Oh,
he's looking all intense, right? That's where this comes from. They like it so much. Not only do they use it in the opening credits, they use it a few minutes later, and they flip it. You can tell because his Smallville logo and words are backwards on his shirt.
Did not catch that.
That is the in-depth analysis you get. I mean, listen to Always Willing to Smallville, let me tell you. So I guess they need another shot of Jason watching the football practice, so they just used it again. He sees them, and the jealousy, you know, goes in. As you mentioned, they go crazy with a Caterade.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls over the guy's like, tell the team they got the green light on Kent. Give them all you got, right?
Yeah.
But during all this, again, it sets up that Clark drinks some Gatorade because, you know, he's thirsty and, you know, he's out there. But it's kryptonite. So it, like, really messes him up. He's, like, doesn't feel well. He's coughing. He wants to quit. And Jason's like, you got to quit on your team, blah, blah, blah. So this sets up if he drank Gatorade with kryptonite in it, wouldn't he, like, die? Like, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what the ratio of kryptonite to Gatorade is. And I guess, like, I'm just thinking of, like, when when you're at the gym or you're at practice, like, because I grew up doing sports, like, I guess, like, those little cups aren't that big. So it's not like he had, like, a huge water bottle's worth of Gatorade. He had, like, maybe
just a little bit of poison.
He's like, Oompa. And he's Superman. For heaven's sake.
Well, if Brandon Routh can lift a continent full of kryptonite with a kryptonite shard in his back, I think Tom Oley can get a little liquid kryptonite in him and still play some football. But this is another one step before this. I jumped ahead. This is another instance of, like, Clark has a scene with Lana, a mini scene, right? And then he walks over, and then Lois shows up, and the scene continues with a different... Switch out the characters, guys. Okay, here's Lois now. And then he's like, what did you do to my cousin? He's like, I don't know. She's coming on to me. And then... And then Chloe shows up in this cheerleading uniform, and Allison Mack is pretty ridiculous in this. It is very amusing because she's so not a cheerleader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I found this in storage. If I join the cheerleading squad, we can be together all the time. And he's like, yeah. Like, it's just Tom Welling does really well with all the comedy here. I think.
He does. Okay. Like, when someone was ever like, Tori, just how crazy about Smallville were you back then? I would refer them to Chloe in this scene. Like, that was me about Smallville with literally no crazy foreign substance in my body. That was just, like, baseline. So, I, like, when you said we're going to do Devoted, I instantly thought of this scene. I was like,
just imagine Tori coming out. In the Smallville cheerleader. Oh my God! Oh! when she hears from me that she's going to be on the podcast, that's what happens, everybody. So
yeah. And then like added myself to the cheerleading squad, like not a real member, like dug up a uniform.
Now we can talk about Smallville all the time. Yeah, that's great.
Fantastic.
So Chloe's out there cheering on Clark, right? And he has the kryptonite in him now. Right, so we have a plus one for Clark loses his powers. Right?
Oh yeah, you're right.
He doesn't have his powers here for, like, I don't know, the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. We also have a plus one for right before Jason, you know, Caterade Jason, as you mentioned, right when he saw this, he has the Caterade now. So our running total of under the influence is plus +3. Those are the characters we see. There's obviously a lot more football players, but we're not going to count on them because it's way too complicated. I don't know how many there are, but you know, we got Jock number one. Chloe, Jason Teague are all under the influence this episode. And Clark has just lost his powers. So it just shows me that Clark would be an awful football player without his powers, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think also because it's like he's so overcome, but he's so used to having like a certain level of ability, and then when it's knocked back, like, and because he's like sick too, it's not like he's just like his powers are just neutralized, like he's mm-hmm. physically ill mm-hmm. as well, so it's extra bad.
And it's always interesting when Superman does lose his powers, he obviously doesn't know how to fight. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's why Batman can always kick his ass, because he's like, yeah. Batman knows how to fight and Superman doesn't know what he's doing. And whenever he fights like more powerful people, he's just clueless. Like whenever somebody blocks a punch from Superman, he's like, oh God, I don't know what to do now. All right. Because I just throw people 20 feet.
Like,
and that's all I do.
You want to tap in? Because like, I don't know what to do here.
I got nothing. So, this is amusing to see him so humbled, I mm-hmm. guess, and Chloe, it's even more ridiculous because Chloe's like, "Oh, Clark, yeah," you know, she's cheering him on, and he's just getting his ass kicked by these football players. So, anyway, later that night, Clark is like recuperating back at home, and he is, you know, he's in bad shape, and he's got bruises, and you know, because he's been beat up by this football team all afternoon, and then Jason shows up looking like Eminem or something, and this
hoodie inside is a strong choice. The bold fashion move.
And he's like, should have stayed away from my girlfriend, Kent. And then he just starts beating him up. This barn gets destroyed on the inside by people throwing people off balconies so often. And yet again, you know, the Kents are going to have to repair something because Jason just beats the hell out of Clark.
Yeah.
But lucky for Clark, Lex is there. And Lex gets Jason off Clark and Jason scurries away.
Again, not weird at all. Like, totally cool for this guy just to, like, lurk on private property. Like, very chill. Like, no one be worried.
It's like, you know, 9:30 on a school night. Let me just walk over to the barn. Yeah.
Okay,
but
this cool.
is the whole reason. This is the whole reason that Jason had the hoodie on, right? Mm. So Lex wouldn't recognize him because he pulls him off Clark. Mm-hmm. And then Jason scurries away.
Yeah.
And then he didn't see him. And Lex is like, who was that? And Clark's like, I don't know. So Clark defending him even so, right? And turns out that Lex is nursing his wounds. More fodder for your Clex conversation you're having earlier, right? He's like patching him up, and he's doing
comfort
for Clark what Lana did for Jason. So we see, I guess it's, I don't know if he bleeds it out or sweats it out or burns off, right? We see the last drop
metabolizer
of the Gatorade drop out of his nose or whatever, and then like his wounds start healing up, so he like kind of buttons himself up, and then Lex comes back over to him. He's like, I would have sworn you had a cut above your eye. And Clark's like, I'm feeling much better now. You know, it's like so hot, such bad timing for Clark. It's gonna raise more suspicion for Lex, right? But speaking of Lex's suspicion, he apparently was there to give Clark all the files he had on him. And I don't know about you, but that looked like not very many files. I bet Lex has more, right?
I hope there's, like, a thumb drive in there that has all the files, because that's just a little light.
There's a floppy disk in there, I think, Victoria. I think that's what they had.
Oh, right. True.
So, Clark even says, he's like, how do I know you don't have copies? And Lex is like, well, you don't. But, you know, hashtag friendship. So, that's his argument, right?
I do like that Clark's wiser now. Again, like, season one, Clark would be like, well, gee, thanks, Lex. Like, I like that. Clark's a little more guarded, and he's a little more savvy when dealing with the losers.
I did like how it took 4 episodes for them to patch up their friendship, you know, instead of just one.
It was an instant.
They do have some good dialogue here, because Lex is saying, I have a dark side, and your friendship keeps it at bay, and Clark says, well, everybody has a dark side, and Lex says, I can feel my creeping over the corners, right? So there you go. So that's some good, like, that is such, like, Smallville, like, trailer dialogue, right? You know,
for
I
sure.
am the villain of the story, right? All that stuff, Smallville montage dialogue scene right here. But then we have Lois is continuing to investigate what's going on, because earlier in that kind of catfight confrontation, one of the cheerleaders had dropped a folder, and then she saw that... there was a science project that they had done, as you would say. These are smart cheerleaders, so they're trying to, although they really executed it very poorly, but it was kind of supposed to be like, you think these women are just airheads, but they're really geniuses, right? They kind of missed the boat on that, if that's what they were going for.
I was like, it was a good try. Just
totally. It was totally the best try they could totally do.
Oh my God, like,
totes. Clark is not impressed yet by Lois's. He's like, oh, you actually did some investigative reporting? You get it, guys? Because she's going to be investigative reporter, but she doesn't like doing it now. Because it's a prequel.
in moments like that, I can, like, it's just like shy of them turning to the camera and being like, boink.
Yeah, Smallville is an expert at that kind of stuff. But she has done some good research here, and they find this science project where they invented basically a love potion. They make up some chemical, which I'm sure doesn't even really exist.
Excuse me, it's the love molecule, and it's very serious science.
Yeah, the love molecule, yeah. submitted for peer review, this paper was. And once they add the meteor rock to it, apparently, it worked. So Lois starts to get kind of suspicious here of Clark. She's like, wait a minute, you drank some of that. Why aren't you acting weird? He's like, I don't know. Those are my favorite Clark excuses too, where he's like, I don't know. It's like, all right, sure. So they concoct this plan, or Lois really concocts this plan, because Mandy, the main cheerleader, doesn't have a chauffeur, as Lois referred to them earlier, and they mention, oh, this totally cool party, and I thought it was going to be at somebody's house.
Nope.
I don't know. But apparently it's at the Smallville high school pool and gym, right? This party they have that night. So they go to this party, and it's Clark and Lois is kind of like egging him on, because the plan here is if he can, like, you know, lure, seduce Mandy away, Lois can get the file on the love potion and figure out what the antidote is, right? So he goes up to her and he's like, I'm devoted to you, like very unconvincingly, and just kisses her, right?
Yeah. But I like that Mandy doesn't let that stop her, because same.
Mm-hmm. Well, she takes a look at him, and she's like, yeah, I can work with this.
No, that was amazing. I remember, like, my preteen self was losing my mind. Like, I love how she just, like, literally just lifts up his shirt, sees the washboard app, and like, okay, let's go. Like, exit stage left.
And they go to where else would you go but to the locker room?
The most romantic of spots. You know, it's like the weight room.
Yeah, all this gym equipment, you know, so you can get a lot of interesting positions on the gym equipment, I guess is the idea there.
Hot.
But she has her purse with her, right? She's very present to keep this by her at all times. I don't know why she's even has this with her. Like, wouldn't she, like, put that in a safe or something? But anyway.
Maybe she needs to, like, be able to brew some more at a moment's notice. Who knows?
They can't remember what the ingredients are, so they got to keep the exact measurements in their purse, yeah. Right? So so Lois has to keep following him in there, and it's a pretty hot and heavy makeout session. Again, to use your terminology, the show has become very thirsty.
Yeah, this is peak thirst.
Peak thirst, yes. And she's like, so what are you going to do for me, Clark? And he's like, I'm going to buy you dinner. I'm going to cook you dinner. And she's like, oh, that is so hot.
I love it. Like, such, like, low standards. This poor girl. No, we shouldn't feel bad for her, but I love that she's just used to such jerks that she's like, oh my God.
It's very funny because Lois is, like, sneaking around. This is very Lois and Clark-esque. You know, like, Clark's, like, subtracting this girl, and Lois has to, like, get the information from her. She's hiding under a desk and all this stuff, and we keep cutting back to reaction shots of Lois, and it is very entertaining, I must say.
It's so fun.
So then he finally, Clark kind of, like, throws the purse over at her, and she leaves. But then we forgot about someone, Chloe. Chloe comes up behind her with, like, a freaking, like, iron or something and hits her. Well, what's up with this?
Like a crowbar.
And she's like, I went through this with Lana. I'm not going to go through with you. You're not going to steal Clark from me. It's like, oh, Smallville ships just in the flesh right here, people. So internet wars in the flesh.
Yeah.
And they start fighting. And Lois, of course, you know, has some karate. So she does a roundhouse kick onto Chloe, kicks her in, like, the furnace. So
yeah.
She burns like, ow, that would leave more of a burn. I think with both of her hands.
Yep, that's
true.
I forgot how kick butt Lois was. So that was such a pleasant surprise that she just, like, busted out of her martial arts move. And then I loved how she, like, did what she had to do to take Chloe down. And then the second Chloe kind of snaps back and she sees that she hurts her, she's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. So it was sweet.
And because we've learned that heat neutralizes the love potion, we don't even need this formula or anything anymore. We cut back and Mandy's like, so how far do you want this to go?
I'm
like, whoa.
I think Mandy's quite desperate, honestly. And so she's really not letting a lot hold her back.
That's true. That's true. And she's the only one without a boyfriend now because her other boyfriend, I guess, is probably in, I don't know if he's suspended or in jail or what because he tried to kill his coach. So yeah, also, so she's not going to see him again anytime soon.
So feminist. God forbid Mandy doesn't have a boyfriend. Whatever will she do?
Yes, very true.
Die,
very
obviously,
true.
Clearly.
Early 2000s feminism. You got to love it, right? On television. Yeah. And so Lois says something like, right there is far enough. Thank you or something. And so Lois and Chloe go in and Clark immediately kind of runs over to them and like puts his shirt back on all embarrassed. And she's like, oh, Clark, you're pathetic or whatever.
Okay, this is one continuity thing I noticed because I thought it was funny. He puts his shirt on backwards and inside out. And then when they cut back to him, like because they like cut to a close up of Mandy. And then when they cut back to him and Lois, his shirt's on right. And I almost wish they would have just kept it askew. Because I think the reason that this episode is maybe more watchable and tolerable than Facade is because, like, it's super thirsty and super trashy, but at least it's fun and you have some fun and there's humor. Where I think Facade, like, still took itself kind of seriously. So, like, just, like, it's, like, as we're all here kind of in, like, the pits of thirst and the forest.
No, I 100% agree with you. This is more self-aware than Facade was, I think, would be the best way to describe it. So they're all arguing, like Lois and Chloe and Clark, as they do, right? And then Mandy leaves, and she comes back, and she's got the football team with her. And it's going to have to be, you know, Clark versus the football team. I'm like, oh, this is cool. But then they see that this hot steam pipe up above, right?
Yeah.
And they're gonna run away, but Lois, of course, being Lois, wants to fight them, right?
I love it.
She kicks one of them, and of course we have another guy's like, you bitch, you're gonna pay for that. I'm like, oh, again with the b-bomb. But you know, this is the edgy season 4 brand, right? Luckily there's, I don't, you know, it's the locker room, so it's like hot shower pipe, whatever. Clark uses heat vision on it, it bursts, and the steam kind of knocks them all out of their Gatorade. And Lois is like, what the hell just happened? Of course, like, I don't know. I guess it just burst. We're just lucky, I guess. Like, need to return some videotapes. I don't know. So so that's the end of the football team. And Clark goes to visit Lex after this. And, you know, next day or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And we see that the Porsche has been, you know, from the pilot, the Porsche that was in the accident, that was the very beginning of the chamber of Clark Kent, as they called it on Krypton site back in the day. Everything is gone now. Mm-hmm. You know, if Lex was smart, he just moved it to a different room, you know. And he's put the car through one of those,
compactor.
Junkyard things from Superman 3. Yeah, trash compactor. And it's like these two cubes. Clark's like, what is this? You know, he's like, well, it's a reminder. What I almost lost. It's so, he's so poetic and like over the top, but it's very Lex Luthor, right? That he kept that.
Yeah. They're all about their grand gestures. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try to be friends again, you know? So, but the real reason they're going to try to be friends again is Clark wants Lex to help him get rid of Lois. So poor Lex Luthor, he's out here trying to do the right thing. And Clark's like, okay, we can be friends, but first you got to do something for me. It's like, ugh. No wonder Lex turned evil. Everybody wants something from him.
No, I get that. Like, Lex has not been great. Like, Clark can cash in this favor every now and then, even though, of course, I don't want him to send Lois away because I love Lois. But, like, Clark gets one. Like, Clark, this is his recompense for, like, the weird, creepy uniform move.
I guess so. So then we get the big game.
Yeah.
Right, the next day. And we're gonna have a new category. I talked about in the mailbag episodes. It's called You Weren't Yourself. That's for our friend Adam Parker and his wife have been watching, and she's expecting a baby. So good luck to you guys. Health and well wishes to you and your new family you're starting. And because, you know, having a baby, I thought, you know what? We're going to get, you suggested this, Adam, and we're going to give you this category, You Weren't Yourself. So we got a +2 right here
for
You Weren't Yourself. And we'll go, you'll laugh. You'll have a good laugh here. We'll go down the tally at the end here to tell you how many there are so far in the show. We have 2 in this episode alone because, Clark and Jason talk before the game because Jason's like, hey, Clark, man, thanks for not, you know, blah, blah, blah. I almost killed you. And Clark's like, oh, it's okay. You weren't yourself. By the way, coach, you mentioned your girlfriend. Who's your girl? And he's like, I don't know. Like you said, I wasn't myself. And he leaves. And you're like, okay, whatever.
That was
but anyway, so we have a +2 for that. And we have,
this is going to be fun now. Perfect category. Like, I almost fell out of my chair when Zach just said what
she did. She did. I saw her. It's true, folks. So small the crows, right? It's it's the end of the game. Mm-hmm. It's fourth down. They're on their own 40-yard line, and there's 7 seconds left. Okay, so I just...
Totally realistic.
For people that understand football, you're like, I don't know. But anyway, and they're down by, I guess, four or whatever, so they have to score. Well, no. They're down by three. The smart play would have been to try for a field goal.
Yeah, see, because I don't know much about football, but I'm like, down by four? Like, that doesn't feel quite right. But
yeah, so no, if they were down by four, it would have made more sense for them to go for the Hail Mary. You know, right. I don't know. I didn't check see how many timeouts they had. This is going to be fun to talk about football with these episodes, right? It's like, as much as I complained about last episode, it's here. I'm going to have fun with it, right? So your only play at this point is to do the Hail Mary. So they're like, can you throw that far? Like, one of the teammates asked him, Clark's like, can you run that fast? It's like, yeah, good Baron Clark, you come back.
Yeah, and no, I love Clark and he's like my baby. I was like, you go, but you're doing amazing, sweetie. You tell him that you stick up for yourself.
You are Chloe on the sidelines in the cheerleading outfit.
I am.
Like,
I don't eat catering. It's just who I am. It's how I am. You know where I'm at. You know how I be.
So as I mentioned earlier, we get the most cliche, like, sports stuff ever. We get the shots of, like, all the people in the stands. You can see me doing it. They can't see me at home, but they're, like, looking up at the ball, right? They're like, oh, you know, you see every kid. You see Lex. You see the Kents. You see, you know, the girls. Like, because Lana, yeah. Lois, and Chloe are just hanging out now.
And then, I don't know about my high school, but, like, I'm like, this is I guess it's Smallville, so there's not a lot going on, rather than, like, crazy people running around. I'm like, this is a very well-attended high school football game. Like, wow, impressed.
Well, it's the only game in town. Small town.
That's true.
You know? So
that's true.
It's, you know, it's how we do it here in Texas. You ever seen Friday Night Lights?
No.
That's how we do it here in Texas. Okay, seriously, watch the movie. It's great.
Okay.
Watch the TV show. Right. If you want to know what high school is really like, it's like Friday Night. It's not like Smallville. It's like Friday Night Lights. Okay.
Gotcha.
In a small town, that is a great show, and I highly recommend it. Anyway, in small towns, football is where it's at, right?
Right,
it's it's too expensive to shoot at night, I guess, so there's no Friday night lights in Smallville. It's like Saturday afternoon sun. Yeah. But anyway, we get the Hail Mary all the way down the field. Yes, exactly. So we get the Hail Mary all the way down the field. The Crows win. You know, they lift up Clark. It's like, Clark. So they've all accepted him now.
Yeah.
Because he's won. So did you ever, you mentioned you were in drama. Did you ever have a moment like this for yourself in high school, Victoria?
I did not have a moment where everyone put me on their shoulders, regrettably, but my big moment as a drama geek in high school was, it was always my dream to be the female lead in the school musical my senior year, and I got to be the female lead in the musical senior year. It was a very glamorous, sexy show. It was Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, wow. Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah, we played that for my marching band halftime show. We played that when I was a junior. So, yeah, very
cool.
Similar to Fiddler
on
the Roof.
Yeah, so I got to be Golda. And so that was like a high school dream I'd always had that came true. So that was super cool. But it wasn't like the coolest like show, because we were all in like headscarves and caught like.
You weren't exactly like Lola from Damn Yankees, is what you're saying.
No.
So, but that was your one shining moment, right?
It was cool.
So you had
one. It was a highlight.
So I ask you, because I have a similar story.
Yeah.
Well, for my own one shining moment in high school. So as I said, I was in band, and so so I'm a photographer, editor. I mean, that's what I do. Photojournalist, whatever you want to call it, right? And so I was always into photography and videography and that kind of thing, and it was a hobby of mine. And so when I was in band senior year, our last concert, we were playing a piece called Godzilla Eats Las Vegas. And it's like a modern kind of music piece, whatever. And they wanted to have some kind of multimedia element to it. And I said, I got this, guys. I got this, right? So I went home and I listened to this like nonstop for like 2 weeks. This like 13-minute song. And I'm like, and I'm thinking of all the, because this is how I think, you know, I'm thinking of all the clips from all the movies that I've seen over these, and how am I going to make a story out of this, right? So what I did was I just basically, and I taught myself on, I was doing volunteer stuff in my church at the time. They let me use their computer like over a weekend. I taught myself Final Cut Pro and I imported all this footage and I put this all together, and it was from all these Godzilla movies and Ocean's 11 and any Nicolas Cage movie that takes place in Las Vegas. I edited it all together, right? And then I added Superman to it, because there was supposed to be a fight at the end of Godzilla, and I was like, I'm putting Superman in this. And everybody knew that I was the Superman guy, so that they knew it was coming, right? It was so cool, because I will post this, if you guys are interested. I'm going to post it this week so you guys can see my masterpiece, my copyright infringement masterpiece, Godzilla Eats Las Vegas, right? Anyway, so it's my senior year. It's my concert. We're all playing. You know, I'm up there playing. I played French Horn, so I'm up there playing, right? And then they drop down the big screen. So there's like 300-400 people, because it's senior. All the bands are there. They play the concert, and all the students and parents and all that. And they show it, and we're playing along to it. And at the end, they're like, "Oh, Zach did this. Come up there." And I was like, Zach. And it was like, "Oh yeah." Everybody's cheering my name. You know, I think my parents were there and had recorded it too. And my dad was like, "Good for you, buddy." Like, I heard him say that on the thing. So that was my moment. They did not pick me up and carry me off. They did not pick me up and carry me off the stage. But it's as close as I got to one of these moments right here.
A great one nonetheless.
So you had your musical. I had my thing. Clark had his football.
If my one note, though, is like, maybe it should have been a 13-minute Smallville clip montage. I know, like, the moment's passed.
I did not work Smallville in there, although I did the second to last shot of it was Christa Reeve flying over the earth at the end, because he was, a lot of Superman. Because I was very proud of myself how I edited these all together. Now, this is like the roughest thing I've done, right? But I say one day, if they ever make like a biography channel special about me, this will be part of it. They will show this, because this is where it all started. I am living the dream, doing what I do. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up, because this show, if nothing else, this show is just a mouthpiece for me to talk about my own high school life and how it relates to Clark Kent and Smallville. So,
well, no, and again, like I've been saying, but that's the beauty. That's the maybe one of the few kernels of goodness in this episode, is that it's something you can relate to. Like, you can relate to having that big triumphant moment and overcoming something and achieving something you've always wanted to achieve in high school. Like that, like Clark actually had a real high school problem this episode, and it felt relatable. And I think, again, that's why I enjoyed it and was able to kind of dismiss all the hate, the caterade, and all the craziness.
Yeah, as negative as I was about football in the last episode, I'm starting to, I might be coming around to it a little bit, just because of what it represents, not so much what it is. So I'll give you that. So anyway, so they win, right? They carry him off. He's the hero of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have after the game, and this is our third instance of, here's Clark in a scene, time for one character to talk for half the scene, and then we're going to switch him out, right? So then we have Chloe, mm-hmm. and they kind of talk, oh, superhero and journalist, right? Because we have to, because it's Smallville, and we have to say those things. Because he says he's going to stay writing for the torch, and Chloe's like, you're going to be big man on campus, superhero, all that. But they have a nice kind of moment of, like, at least addressing the situation in this episode. She's like, those feelings came from somewhere, and Clark's like, I don't feel that way, at least right now. The show's like, well, we have a lot of people that like Clark and Chloe together, so let's leave that door open just a little bit, you know, for him. Like, oh, there's hope. Keep hope alive.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The ship still sails.
So they have their mode of, like, we're still just going to be friends. It's all good. And then Chloe goes about her way. And then Freudian slip. Then Lois comes in, because we have the character switch, right? She's like, if you break her heart, I'll break your legs, you know? And
love her.
This is a good scene of establishing where she's going now. She's going to leave Smallville.
I love her. I just love everything about Lois. That's my ship, by the way. Like, I think, again, because I really started watching Smallville with season 4, and I knew who Clark Kent is with in the larger Superman lore. So I always have been a Lois shipper, even though, like, I enjoyed until it got too much. Like, I did, like, root for Clark and Lana in the beginning, but, like, I'm endgame Clovis all the way.
So I used to be like, man, they should have really done Clark and Chloe, or made Chloe Lois. I'm not saying do Chloe instead of Lois. I'm saying make Chloe Lois, you know, because it wouldn't make sense to have her be with somebody else. That'd be like, you know what that would be like, Victoria? That'd be like if they made a show about the Green Arrow, right? And then he ended up not with the Black Canary. It just wouldn't make any sense. So, of course, Clark Kent's going to end up with Lois Lane. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time.
Yay!
So this establishes that Lex Luthor called Metropolis University, and they're going to let Lois go to college there. So she's gone, and that's it for Lois. Now, the reason this is that way It's because initially WB told Smallville you could have Lois for 2 episodes. And they said, okay, yep, you can have her for 4 episodes. And they're like, all right, this is all we have of Lois. That's why there's kind of a shift between like the Gone and Crusade and then, you know, Devoted and Facade and then we're, and then everything else. You can see like the 3 phases of Lois, right? Mm-hmm. So in the Companion, Erica Durant had this to say about the situation.
Erica!
It was a really gradual process. Around episode 3, I was hearing little buzzings of maybe being in a couple more. Maybe I was going to be written into 6 and 7. It's kind of funny because I look back on it now and I go, that just seems to have turned into quite the wild ride, and I really didn't expect it. It really was gradual. And then it totaled to 13 episodes. I never count my chickens before they hatch, as it were. I was just really interested in each little bit that I was getting to do, because before this point, I didn't have the experience of having a steady job. It was just great to get work. So, good for her. Yeah, I mean, it turned into, you know, special guest star Erica Durant, and then she was in the main credits for the last 5 years of the show.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but it really does feel like Lois is going to be gone, right? It feels like, you know, there's a lot of show. It's funny, you go back and look at other, like, any TV show, right? And there's always moments like this with characters where, like, I'm going to visit, I'll see you around, and they leave and they never come back.
Right.
Right? And they're like, they left the door open, but you're like, well, you know. But she comes back in Spell, and then she never leaves, so.
Right, yeah. Well, it's like, I think also, too, because just the premise of the show, because it is Superman in high school, there's this thought that you can't keep Lois around too long because we are going to bump up too closely to Superman lore. So when she's like, I'm going, but you'll maybe see me later, and we're all like, okay, we know we're gonna see you later, which just depending how much later. So I kind of understood them being like, we can't keep her around too long initially, just kind of for what the show is and what the show needed to be. But I think it just speaks to how fantastically Erica embodied this character, that she was just so, like, honestly irresistible, that the WB, and I know now working in Hollywood, like, people are so they're so possessive and so not always creatively motivated in these decisions, being like, you can only have Lois for this much, and okay, fine, you can have Lois for this much. So the fact that she turned in the 2-episode guest star into becoming an integral series regular on the show is just such a testament to her as an actor and how perfect she was for Lois. And I know a lot of my friends who are Superman fans, like, Erica is their defining Lois. Like, she's the ultimate portrayal of Lois for them. And I think I feel like that too, even though I love Amy Adams, so I love her Lois as well, but I don't think I'd love her Lois as much if I didn't have Erica, because I almost kind of like blend it, like, because I feel like, because I don't think you get a lot of time with Amy Adams Lois, but I can just use all the things I learned about Lois and Smallville and just almost like plug it into Amy Adams. Like, oh yeah, there she is, she's fully formed.
That's a great point, because that's the way I choose to see just all the Smallville media we have now, because comic books, they have different artists and writers, right? But it's the same character, right? So let's just take a step back, let's look at it this way. We have Smallville, right? And then we have, and so that's Superman growing up, becoming Superman. Then we have like Man of Steel in the DC movies of like Superman being Superman out there. And then we kind of have like our post Superman stuff and Supergirl, where he's been around for a long time. Supergirl is younger than him, is his cousin, so he comes in and does stuff. And you could like, if you just can pull back and just ignore the fact that the faces change, you get to see this character's entire, not entire, but a huge part of their career. Mm-hmm. And yes, in a perfect world, you would have seen Tom Welling do all these things, right? But not everything can be the DC animated universe. And that's why I think that DC animated universe, Batman animated series, all the way through Justice League and Batman Beyond, that's why that works, because you have the same voices, they look the same. Like, but you just can't do that in live action, because these characters are ageless, you know? And I love the fact that Kevin Conroy can still voice Batman 25 years later, right? But that wouldn't work in live action. So you got to look at it, and I totally agree that you got to look at it that way. You know, so I that's the way I choose to see it as well and enjoy all this stuff. But anyway, that's the end of Lois Lane for now on the show. Right. We were played out by Bebo Norman's Our Mystery. But there's also a deleted scene in this episode that's included on the DVDs. Yes. It's a follow-up scene between Jason and Lana. And
thank God they cut it.
I assume it would have taken place after the football game and before the last scene on the field. And as Jason takes Lana back to their apartment, we're not sure. We talked about it earlier. We're not sure. And he has it all decked out like France. And when I say France, I mean, I'm not even kidding. There's about 7 French flags. Victoria is throwing up
lying.
And he's all these candles and all, and it's to, he apparently did all that, but he was still devoted to her. And, you know, they did this whole like Mademoiselle kind of thing. And it's like, guys, you're trying too hard. You know, like I will say I like Jason here because he's in the early season form. He's like the goofball boyfriend who's like in over his head and doesn't understand what he's gotten himself into. As opposed to I'm psycho killer Jason who's going to kill people because mom says so at the end of the season. So what a turn. But
yeah, really, I was about to say he really takes a turn.
But you know this this scene was, I mean, all it did was kind of like give some closure to the Lana Jason activity in this episode, but it wasn't necessary. And if you were going to cut a scene, that's the one to cut. So there you have it. And also this episode was dedicated to Christopher Reeve because Christopher Reeve had passed away but right before this episode aired just a few days. So I'm glad it wasn't Facade that was dedicated to Christopher Reeve. It was going to be one of these. I'm glad it was Devoted, because Devoted, not the best episode of Smallville, but at least fun.
Wow, so 60-yard pass to win the big game at the last second. You're going to be like some superhero around here. Just might have to do an article on you.
Does that mean you're back at the torch?
Yeah. Since I'm not very good at ignoring 500-pound elephants, I am really sorry that I made things so ridiculously awkward between us.
You know, I thought you made a great cheerleader.
Yeah, let's never talk about that again, okay? Look, Clark, as much as I'd like to blame the pom-pom juice for this, I obviously still have those feelings in me somewhere.
Chloe, I wish I felt the same way, but I don't. At least not right now.
Right. I know that. And I accept it. I just hope that we can keep our friendship. Except now you're gonna be like big man on campus.
Well, I'm hoping my new editor will keep me in line. I'm gonna make time for the torch.
Wow. Superhero and journalist. What are the odds?
Devoted got an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 2 out of 5. So I ask you, Victoria, what would you give Devoted?
Oh, man. Now, that's a difference of opinion. I can't believe the IMDb score is so high. I think it's a bunch of thirsty fangirls like me who are like, Clark was like pretty hot in this episode. you know what? I'm going to give it a solid C. Because I know it's crazy and it's silly, but I think what saves it is the humor. There's more self-awareness than Facade. I think once, if you just go in to have fun and you're not going in and expecting a seminal episode of Smallville, if you factor in that and the Lois factor, just because, again, she's just such a breath of fresh air. And I think she does a lot of heavy lifting in this episode to keep it from being just completely intolerable. I'm gonna give it a C, because, and then you know what, something else I noticed watching this episode, and it's just how well shot it is, how well shot this show is. Even for all the craziness and the teenage thirstiness, it is lit beautifully, and the production design, all things considered, is really well done. So, and I do think like everything was, I think also it makes me nostalgic, or it sweetens me, because there's just this like beautiful golden glow on everything. I'm like, oh, I can't be too hard on this. It's just some good old thirsty fun.
Good old thirsty fun indeed. So a C for you. I'm going to give it a C minus. I gave Facade a D minus. All right, because that is the worst episode of Smallville to this point. So I had to give it a D minus because it was just, it was what it was. But C minus. So they move up a whole complete letter now with Devoted. So so there you go. For all the reasons you said, it's self-aware. It's very funny. It knows that it's being funny. Lex is in it. So a little Lex goes a long way. He was barely in Facade, so that hurt it there. So yeah, there was some real absurdities in this episode, but it was enjoyable enough, so it's going to keep it in the C range for me at a C minus. So C for you. C minus for me. Let's move on to the tally board. We have a plus. you can help me out with this. Did they get amnesia afterward?
No,
because it seems like Chloe was like, where am I? What's going on?
But I think it's just like her coming out of it, because Clark and Chloe have that conversation where they're like, can we just pretend that never happened? Because I think she's aware that she became a psycho cheerleader. Because, yeah, they're like, let's just move on.
Okay, yeah, you're right. And then Jason seems to remember it, too. Yeah, it was just really weird because the way Chloe was like, well, where am I? What's going on? You know, that was poorly articulated.
Well, no. Yeah. I think it's just coming out of the trance, coming out of the influence. And also, I'm thinking now Jason was like, hey, Clark, thanks for covering for me. So we know he did something wrong.
Okay. So there is no amnesia in this episode.
No amnesia, just influence.
Yeah. So yes, so we do have plus three for under the influence for jock number one.
So much influence.
So much influence, right? Jason and Chloe for drinking the Caterade. So that brings us to 27 under the influences so far. We also have a plus one for Clark loses his powers, because he loses powers for the rest of the day after drinking that Caterade. So that brings us to five so far in the show.
Okay.
We have our episode title set. An episode, many people say devoted many times. So that's a plus one. We have 26 so far. So that's going to be our standard categories. Now we have a couple of categories I'm going to add this week. We have a plus two for, quote, you weren't yourself.
I can't believe I'm on this episode. I feel honored. I feel honored to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you, Victoria. So that brings us to 11 so far. And so our friend Adam Parker, as I said, him and his wife are having a baby. They've been watching a lot of Smallville. So he actually listed the previous nine for me. So I can list them off for you if you're curious to know, Victoria.
Oh, I'm on the literal edge of my seat. Give it to me.
So in Leech, Martha tells Clark, you're not sick, Clark. You're just not yourself. And in Nicodemus, Clark tells Delana, right now, I'm thinking you don't seem like yourself. And in Rush, Clark tells Chloe, you don't understand. You're not yourself. You need a doctor. And then Rush, Lana tells Chloe, let's just say you weren't yourself. And then in Exodus, Pete tells Clark, don't do it. When you put that ring on, you're not yourself.
Yeah, but I'm still down for it.
Yes. And then
Red K. Clark.
And then in Phoenix, Lionel says to Lex, why would I murder my own flesh and blood? Son, you're not yourself. And then in Phoenix, Lana says to Clark, you weren't yourself. And then in Whisper, Lex and Lana are talking, and Lana says to Lex, you were, Lex says, crazy. Lana says, not yourself. And then in Truth, Clark says, no, Chloe, look, I appreciate your honesty, but you weren't yourself. And then, of course, we have our two in this episode where Clark and Jason both say, you weren't yourself, I wasn't myself. So you can see why I brought this up. You know, I mentioned it before, like, yes, you have a counter for this. And Adam went and found it for me. So I'm very hesitant to, like, have a quote-unquote line on the tally board, but this is just so, like, blatant. We're adding it.
It's so quintessential Smallville. And I just know with transference on the line, like, that number's going to skyrocket.
Yeah, big time. Oh boy. So I do want to add one more, something that didn't happen in this episode per se, but watching season four so far, I need to make note of it. And as I'm referring to season four as trashy and you refer to it as thirsty, this will be a season four only category. I'm calling it season four showers, because
yes,
because we're four episodes in. We have had four showers so far. All right, we had Lana's Jessica Rabbit silhouette shower in Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
We had Clark taking a shower that Lois interrupts in Gone.
Iconic.
We have Lionel taking a shower, so we're equal opportunity for people of all ages.
No, it's not the same.
Lionel, who looks better than anyone, Lionel is cut. So he's taking a shower in Gone, and then we have Abby kind of taking a shower with her boyfriend in the locker rooms in the shower in Facade. So that's four showers in four episodes. There's so much skin and water in this episode. Like, if I really wanted to stretch it, I could say it, but I'm going to stick to my rule. If a shower head is not turned on, it doesn't count. But we had shower heads turned on four times so far this season, and I feel like we're going to get some more. So season four showers, we are at four. So that's your update. So far.
I cannot wait.
So then finally, Victoria, I'm going to ask you, because honestly, I'm not sure if this episode did or not. Did it pass the Bechdel test?
I think it did, because it was something I was watching for, because mm-hmm. this is not my first time on the podcast. I think it did when they are talking, when Chloe and Lois are talking about Mandy and her weird, not weird, because you can be a cheerleader and love chemistry, but her love molecule.
Okay.
And how she's a master chemistry. She's a master chemist.
Science, chemistry, and art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, no, Bechdel test. Because, yeah.
Well,
they're talking about.
A lot of women were talking to each other, but there was so much man talk going on. I wasn't sure. But I said, I think it did.
They're talking about so. A woman who is manipulating men. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
All right, we're giving it to him. So our Bechdel test passed this week. All right, Victoria, well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you about Devoted. Thank you so much for coming back on. Now, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
Certainly. So I have a podcast of my own called Your Biggest Fangirl, and we cover all different aspects of fandom, specifically from the female perspective. But that doesn't mean we don't have awesome gents on the podcast like Zach. Zach was on episode 24, and we talked about Smallville and loving fandom, loving a fandom after its finale. And y'all should check it out. I really enjoy it because we kind of talk about Smallville in a more broad sense, where in this podcast, it's so much fun to go episode by episode. But it was fun to do something a little different in our Smallville discussion. So that's our episode 24. You can listen to Your Biggest Fangirl podcast on your favorite podcatcher. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at YBFG Podcast, or you can check out our website, yourbiggestfangirl.com.
All right. Well, as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM Podcasting Network. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. And as for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Alone to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. Well, next week we're talking about The Flash coming to Smallville. Yay! Bart Allen. Now, back in the day, right, the trailer for this episode called him The Flash, right? And I have the trailer to prove it. There's a big graphic that says The Flash next week on Smallville.
Receipt.
Yes, I have receipts, you know. And they... And because Ryan Reynolds was apparently going to make some Flash movie with David S. Goyer back in the early 2000s, they had to change it. Oh, it's Impulse, guy. It was never the Impulse. No. Okay, he was the Flash, he was the Flash on Smallville. So we're going to talk. I'm very excited to talk about the Flash coming to Smallville next week with Run.
I can't wait to tune in. That's one of my favorite episodes, not of season 4, but of the whole series. So I cannot wait to fangirl out and listen.
You know, I haven't watched that episode since the Flash TV show started like 4 years ago now. So like it's going to be interesting to go back and see what 2004's interpretation of the Flash was as opposed to 2014's. But
you know what? In a different way, thirsty. He's thirsty in a different way.
It's season 4. He has to be, right? So
thirsty.
Anyway, looking forward to that. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.